This is The World According to Us Update with Arnell and Maloney. Another edition of the podcast with Kathleen Maloney and Gary Arnell.
And with Gary Arnell and Kathleen Maloney.
You've got such a hang up over that.
You know what? We're like Congress. We're like the divide in this country.
Oh, please. I hope not.
Is it Arnell and Maloney or is it Kathleen Maloney and Gary Arnell? We can't resolve the. I may put forward a petition for an order of vacancy, like they did with McCarthy.
Well, at any rate,
I might try to have you vacated if you continue to change the name of the podcast. Just because you're coming on first and saying hello first,
right,
doesn't mean you change the name of the show.
I'm not changing the name of the show.
Yes, you did. It's Arnell and Maloney.
At any rate, we've got much more important things going on in the country.
So tell me, Maloney, you sent me a text the other day. You were all agitated and aggravated, and it all has to do with this Colorado ruling.
Yes, I don't believe that a court should be able to determine who runs for president of the United States. The Colorado state, a state court in Colorado,
Supreme Court,
is not allowing Donald Trump to be on the ballot in Colorado. So a court is blocking a candidate who constitutionally qualifies to run and who is the front runner in his party. So a court is stepping in to block this person from running for president. Now, forget about who the person is. I know that the name Donald Trump brings up a lot of different reactions from people. Mm. The fact of the matter that a court is trying to get involved in the electoral process when we are built on a standard of having a separation of powers is highly disturbing to me. Forget who the person is. Just that the thought that a court could decide who runs for president in the state.
Well, first of all, you just made a comment about he constitutionally, you know, can do this and he can run again.
He qualifies to run.
Well, not necessarily. And if you look at
it, he was born here. He's over 35 and he's lived here for the amount of time you're supposed to live here.
I don't know if you've ever read the Constitution of Los Estados Unidos, the United States.
You know,
you got to do a little bilingual with the way things are going at the southern border right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Amendment 14, Section 3. Okay, this is what the Colorado Supreme Court based this opinion on. Now, here it is, right verbatim, Kathleen, from my little handy-dandy booklet that I have. No person, I just want you to listen to this, shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove this disability.
Well,
first of all, this clearly states,
it doesn't say a former president or a vice president. It says electors for the president.
Yes,
but it does not single out a president or a vice president. It doesn't. And that particular clause of the 14th Amendment was meant to prevent, this was after
During the Civil War. Exactly
it was,
correct.
And it was meant to prevent enemies of the country.
Of the Union.
From gaining power and maybe overthrowing the government.
Right, right.
I mean, this is hardly that.
But, well,
this
well,
is,
it is
hardly that.
Kathleen, let me just...
Also, let me stop you for a minute, too.
Go ahead.
Donald Trump has been charged with things and he's been accused of things. He has not been convicted. And another principle of our great democracy, which is not so great anymore, is innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
He's not been convicted of anything.
According to the Supreme Court in Colorado, in this 4-3 decision, there is proof enough for them to keep him off the ballot in their interpretation of their jurisdiction state of Colorado.
But it was not a unanimous ruling, and we're talking about a Democratic court here.
Yes, yes.
And even the Democrats you know, it's a 4-3 decision, so right. It's pretty close.
But I just want to go back to something that you said, because and you were right to point out that this said elector.
Electors,
okay, a president and vice president. Right.
Not a president or
okay.
a vice president.
All right. All right. Let me pick it up right here. Anyone who having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or Kathleen, as an officer of the United States or as a member.
He wasn't an officer.
Hold on.
President.
Hold on.
An officer is a cabinet member or something like that. He wasn't an officer. He's a former president.
Let me get into this before you dig deeper. Or as a member of any state legislature or as, and here it comes now, an executive or judicial officer of any state. Okay, in the United States to support the Constitution of the U.S., and then they get into the insurrection. So the point is here, you were right to point out that it's electors, but they're saying that anybody who had previously taken an oath of office.
Not anybody. It's clearly distinguished who they're talking about. It didn't say a former president.
It said that a former.
It's a stretch, Arnell. It's a stretch. It's a big stretch.
An officer of the United States.
And I think it's kind of pathetic.
Or the executive or judicial
officer. I think
officer.
It's kind of pathetic that those who are trying to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president again. They don't have enough to go on, that they have to go digging deep into the Constitution and then try
to
stretch it. If there's a lot to go on, then stop with this picking, and trying to fit a square object into a round hole. That's what everyone's trying to do.
Let me just tell you that since this decision by the Colorado Supreme Court has taken place, and now, you know, Trump wants to slow this down now, and it doesn't want...
Well,
that's his M.O. That's what he does, is he tries to slow down every single case that's in the judicial process against him, including that defamation case with E. Jean Carroll coming up. But you've got California, Maine, and New York now saying, hey, they did that in Colorado. Why don't we try to get him off the ballot here, basing it on the same premise of the 14th Amendment, Section 3 of the Constitution of the United States?
I'll tell you one thing, Arnell. If these states do succeed in doing that scares me a whole lot more for the state of our union, the state of our democracy, than the prospect that Donald Trump might actually be elected president again.
Let me ask you this,
having a court decide who runs for president is something I don't want to be a part of.
I'll tell you what's a bit unsettled.
And you're talking about courts that are in Democratic states, more or less. So
more
you're
or less,
disenfranchising a lot of people in the country. And that's a big danger. I don't think we want that.
Well, this is going to go to the Supreme Court, okay, just like the immunity case, you know, Jack Smith wants to take that to skip the appeals process.
I don't like the idea that any court is involved in the electoral process.
So then what are the alternatives, Kathleen?
The alternatives are let people run for president and let the American people decide who they want for president. It's a political process. So if the Democrats are so scared that Donald Trump is going to win, then why don't they put up a candidate they know can beat him? Instead, they're hanging on to a candidate who's losing more and more popularity. His approval ratings keep going down. So it's their own fault for hanging on to this candidate who is doubtful if he can win.
Here's what really bothers me about this, is that this will go to the Supreme Court. The immunity case will also go to the Supreme Court as well. We know three of the judges recently appointed by Donald Trump there. And one has to always wonder, Kathleen, here's what I find so troubling. You know, you talk about heading toward an authoritarian society, a state of government. Are these judges, Kath, capable of making a decision on the ballot issue, on the immunity issue,
it's not strictly based
on the law, on the, you know, these are originalists that were appointed to the court. And so that's why I always go back, Kathleen, to the way in which these justices are nominated. You know, you talk about the courts, because they're nominated, the whole political process, the nomination is all political. Somehow we've got to re-engineer and reshape the way justices are nominated for the Supreme Court of the United States. It shouldn't come from the president in power. It needs to come from a nonpartisan type of committee.
I would agree with that.
And get individuals in the robes who can make decisions based on the issue, the policy issue, and not on a political allegiance to a particular candidate. That's what I'm fearful
about.
The
bottom line for me is that courts and judges should not be involved in the political process, and picking a president, that belongs to the people in our democracy. That's the way it's been. That's the way it should be. That's what we've always wanted. It should not be some judges who are politically appointed to determine who's going to run for president. That's a scary proposition
Supreme
for me.
The Supreme Court of the United States, some of the appeals courts as well. Are you doing this podcast today from a kennel?
I know, it sounds
like
it.
I hear, you know, it sounds like the Republicans and the Democrats. I hear,
well, the dog next door is having a play date.
Let's hope it ain't a mate date. So it's a play date?
Yeah.
And when are the puppies expected?
No.
And also, by the way, Kathy, you know when you hear, I thought it was the Democrats and the Republicans in the background. That will be the Republicans. The Democrats, you know, they can't communicate. They like whimper through the communication. But so that's my fear with the courts. And Kathleen, listen, and then we're going to move on to Rudy Giuliani real quickly here about the bankruptcy thing. The Supreme Court of the United States has become another branch of Congress, Kath.
Yeah.
It just has,
That's not good.
And it's that's why it's so important to nominate people and have people on the bench whose clear focus is nothing but agenda issues and how they fit into the Constitution, and not be tainted by who appointed them, who nominated them, or any political allegiance or any history, because it's just so important to the future of the democracy of this country.
And the courts should not be involved in the political process in any way. And in this particular case, they're involved in the political process at every level, including all of the charges against Trump, you know, whether or not they have any validity. They're piling on, and it certainly appears that this is being done in order to prevent him from being reelected.
Somebody.
If he were not running for president, Darnell, this wouldn't be happening.
I disagree with that. I mean, the January 6th insurrection, the charges there would not be happening.
Probably
not. Classified docs, possibility either way. The weakest of all those cases is Alan, was it Bragg in New York? You know, with the Stormy Daniels thing, the weakest of that probably would not have happened. I got to give it to you, if it wasn't under the name of
Donald
John Trump.
A lot of it probably wouldn't be coming up.
Let me ask you a question. Does Rudy Giuliani owe you any money?
No, thank goodness. I'd never collect.
I called Kathleen up the other day. I said, Maloney, did you hear Giuliani now declared? This was like yesterday.
Well, he's trying to protect himself. Look at this judgment, this monetary judgment.
Mm.
What is $148 million for defamation?
Yeah, $150 for defamation.
That's crazy.
Yep. So he files for bankruptcy in New York. Here's the deal, Kath. According to the filing, he listed debts between $100 and $500 million, you know, because of the defamation, the punitive, all that other stuff. He has assets, Maloney, worth up to $10 million.
Which is a drop in the bucket.
Considering
all the money that he supposedly owes.
And Ruby Freeman, who's the other one? Oh, Shay Moss, yeah. According to a judge, they can begin trying to collect from Giuliani immediately. Despite this bankruptcy charge, they can still go after him. Kathleen, have you ever seen an individual fall from grace
It's pathetic. It's pathetic.
And then he lies a couple of days ago while they're deciding on the amount of fines and damages outside of the courtroom again. He says, I have no reason to change my opinion on both of these individuals.
You know, he would have been better off putting up an insanity plea.
Seriously,
a mentally deficient plea.
Absolutely.
He may have gotten off.
I absolutely love it. I think
that's how he should have gone. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but judging by what's going on and the way he's talking and acting, he ought to declare himself insane.
I think you ought to get in touch with a guy by the name of Joseph Sibley. He's Giuliani's attorney.
Yeah.
And you ought to propose to him that somehow they reapproach the court and say, Your Honor, look,
this is insanity. This guy's not old there anymore.
Or go if they're going to appeal it, of course they're going to appeal the decision. Bring up the insanity.
Yeah.
And somehow say we weren't allowed to present the insanity defense. I think, Maloney, that is his one and only chance.
It's his only chance.
And it's proven.
Yeah.
Not like they have to come up with a whole bunch of evidence on this thing. And by the way, he lists, when Giuliani's lawyer says, three defamation cases over statements over the 2020 election that haven't gone to trial. One of them is the Dominion, voting machines. And
Smartmatic, the two voting machine companies.
Yep, Smartmatic. He's got all these other cases that are still pending against him. I mean, he's just, it's done. According to his lawyer, Joseph Sibley, he said Freeman and Moss were asking for the civil equivalent of the death penalty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're trying to end Mr. Giuliani. Well, my question, Kathleen, my retort to Mr. Sibley is, what did he do to Ruby Freeman and Shane Moss by continuously spewing out the fabrications and the lies concerning them trying to taint the election in Georgia?
Well, certainly that was something that should not have been done, and they deserve some compensation for that. But $148 million?
Yeah, but I think the insanity plea is the best
thing that's come out of this. But listen to this. It said Mr. Giuliani made millions of dollars a year in private law practice after he left public office.
Right.
Then his divorce from his third wife exposed the couple's once lavish lifestyle, $230,000 a month spending habit, six houses, and 11 country club memberships.
Yeah,
and now you look at him, and he looks as pathetic as he is, you know? You see him kind of staggering out of court.
He looks horrendously pathetic, if that's possible.
Terrible.
I mean, he looks like he should set up a tent outside one of his properties in New York and just sleep there.
Yeah, he might end up in a tent.
I mean, this guy, Kathleen, you just summed it up so perfectly. Insanity.
Yeah,
that's it.
Insanity.
There's no other way to explain the free fall. And I'll make one other comment on that, and then we're going to go to the odd and the offbeat. And that is, Kathleen, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with this. I mean, at the time, I don't know, where you were, news director, WABC or 1010 Winds or wherever you were at the time. But at 9/11, America's mayor.
Right.
America's mayor. I never bought into that, Kath. Because my take on that was any competent, and I don't use that word loosely, competent mayor of the city of New York post 9/11 would have probably done exactly the same things that Giuliani did.
Well,
this whole business about America's mayor.
I mean, he just had an opportunity fall in his lap where he was on the world
stage. Exactly.
And the same thing with Cuomo during COVID. Everyone was looking up to him because he had those daily briefings. And look where he is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the daily briefings.
So it's just a matter of opportunity.
Yeah. So Giuliani, Kathleen, he's busted. He's broke. Are you ready for the odd and the offbeat?
We're ready.
You do not want to miss this. The odd and the offbeat is straight ahead with Arnell and Maloney.
Again, one of the biggest investments into the World According to Us podcast with Arnell and Maloney is this dollar store bell, which I got before they went to $1.25, or Kathleen and I would have had to have a budget meeting over the extra 25 cents. All right, I have the odd and the offbeat today.
Okay.
All right, and I love this. Controversial bad parenting fee thrusts popular Georgia restaurant into the spotlight. A restaurant in rural Georgia, and I totally agree with what they're doing. Maybe not the way they're doing it. Apparently, out of patience with unruly young customers and their unconcerned moms and dads, left diners everywhere in shock. What they did, Kath, is if your child misbehaved when you were in having dinner, they would tack on to the restaurant bill an extra, I'm trying to see now, I think it was $25 for an adult's, listen to this, an adult surcharge for adults unable to parent. They would put a surcharge on the bill to fine, not fine. Oh, no, wait a minute.
What
I'm wrong about that.
What right do they have to do
listen
that?
Listen to this. The owner came out and told me, this is one of the diner people who were in there eating, and told me he was adding $50. I thought it was 50 to my bill because of my children's behavior. My kids watched a tablet until the food arrived. They ate their food. My wife took them outside while I waited and paid the bill. He said the guy was just looking to make a quick $50.
I wouldn't have paid it. I would not have paid it. What right does a restaurant have to do that?
And who are going to be the arbiters of whether or not your child misbehaved in the restaurant?
And what's misbehavior? You know, because children are children. If you don't want children in your restaurant, you should put that.
Post it.
Post it and say, no children. Right. No children are welcome. We'll see how long that restaurant stays in
business. I have to tell you something. I am so, unless you're in like a Chuck E. Cheese or one of those kind of places where, you know, kids are throwing tantrums and fits and throwing other kids across the room.
Well, that's a different kind of place. You know what
you
to expect
it.
If you go there.
And if you're an adult and you're going there to eat, what was that insanity defense you were talking about for Giuliani? But I am disturbed, though, Kath, when I go into even a diner, okay? Mm-hmm. And the kids are running up and down between the tables or they're yelling or whatever. These parents, they need to control these kids.
Well, I agree that the parents
in a restaurant,
the parents
should be
responsible for their children's behavior. Definitely.
Suppose this guy posted in this restaurant, there will be a fee if your child if we ascertain that your child misbehaved while you were here dining, and they put that sign up on the wall.
I don't think that will work either, because as you said before, it's very subjective. What is misbehavior? They could be asked to leave, maybe, but I don't think that a surcharge should be put on a bill,
Kat,
because of a child's behavior.
It says a lot of diners have left poor Google reviews of the restaurant, claiming to have been unlucky recipients of the, and I think this is what they put on the check, Kath, bad parenting fee. Can you imagine that?
I would not pay that.
Bad parenting fee, $50. So if you storm out and you don't pay it, I guess he could call the cops for an unpaid bill.
Well, no, I would pay the restaurant bill, but I would not I would not
pay extra
that
$50.
Extra surcharge.
Yeah.
Especially since it was not, this is not something that was told to me beforehand. You just can't do that.
So if he posts it up there and then it's up to the consumer to decide whether they want to eat there or not.
A lot of parents are just not going to go to the restaurant, and I wouldn't.
Right, because you don't want to take a chance.
No.
And especially the way you raised your kids. Go, run, scream! you'd be paying like an extra $150 for all three of them being unruly. But I'm so irritated by people who don't control their kids.
Right, I agree.
To the best of their ability
in a restaurant.
Someone's
going to a restaurant and they should expect to be able to have a quiet, pleasant meal, and it's not right for parents to violate someone else's enjoyment of a time out. So
and then God forbid, sorry to the atheists and the agnostics, God forbid that you look at a parent who is not disciplining their children in a restaurant, that they're running amok or whatever. More often than not, you get a look back of disdain, like, who the hell are you to tell me? You know, my kids aren't doing anything wrong just because they grabbed a piece of cake off your plate.
But I have to say, in my experience, I have not experienced children behaving badly that often. I really haven't.
Really? Well, that's because you have a very specific definition of bad behavior for children.
Maybe I'm more tolerant.
I mean,
let's put it that way.
I think you are more. In fact, you're one of those people, if I was eating in a restaurant, I know you, I probably would throw you a look. Because all you do is you're coming in here, you're just going to decide what you're going to eat. The kid can run up and down and boom, that's it with you, Malone.
No.
So, yeah, okay. All right, I think that does it for this edition, does it not?
It does.
And that's another edition of The World According to Us with Arnell and Maloney. A friendly reminder, don't forget to like us, love us, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. And yes, the love will be returned.